Life Audio.
Thank you for joining us for Sound Reasoning with Christian apologist and minister Perseus Poku of Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's program will educate, train, and empower you to defend your Christian faith with confidence. Perseus has his bachelor's in history and a master's degree in apologetics. We hope you enjoy this time of equipping so that you can answer questions to defend your Christian faith effectively. Now here's Perseus Poku on Sound Reasoning.
Welcome to Sound Reasoning. I'm your host, Perseus Poku. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9 reads as follows. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. And after a word from our sponsors, we'll get started on the topic today.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Scott. As a servant of God, wife, and mother of four, I understand the juggle of multiple roles and stages. That's why I created the Encourager podcast to help guide us through the messy middle stage of life. Join me on The Encourager as we challenge the chaos and embrace harmony. Together, we'll create practical systems to balance your roles and fulfill priorities. And we will do it while having joy and energy for both home and work life. Tune in for inspiring stories and interviews, actionable tips, and methods to do both home and work life. Because here, we believe you can do all things, just not all at once.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. So this is a bold statement from the Apostle Paul to the church. And he just revealing the importance of sticking to the truth of the gospel. It's important to stay within the scriptures, meaning stay within the lines of what the scripture is saying versus what the scriptures are not saying. It's not enough for us to say, well, I had good intentions, so I was preaching heresy or I was teaching heresy. It is the obligation of all believers to rightly divide God's word. It doesn't matter if you sit in the last pew of the church or you sit in the front of the church. All Christians have been called to accurately divide God's word and to be able to interpret God's word and to be able to relay the truth of God's word. It's not enough for us to continue promoting or propagating things that are not in scripture. Just being in church for all these many years, I've heard Christians make statements that are totally out of the realm of a Christian doctrine. So it's important that when we tell others, thus said the Lord, based on scripture, that we are interpreting the scripture correctly. And we see the dangers of the incorrect interpretation of Scripture from just looking at American history. If you look at Joseph Smith and Mormonism, Joseph Smith got away with interpreting Scriptures incorrectly. He got away with infusing the Bible with other ideologies. And as a result, he led many astray, and many are still being led astray. Charles Taze Russell, same thing. Mr. Russell had issues with the doctrine of hell. And as a result, he started down the road of eisegesis and putting in the Scriptures what was not there. So here we are, all these years later, we have millions and millions of Jehovah's Witnesses that have been deluded to believe that many of their teachings are truthful and accurate, when in essence, it's not. So Paul himself says, whether it's we or an angel from heaven preach anything to you other than what you've received before, let them be accursed. So even if I was preaching falsehood, God will hold me accountable. If you're preaching falsehood, God will hold you accountable. So in today's episode, I thought it would be in line, I thought it would be appropriate for us to talk about introduction to Bible study, introduction to Bible study. And this falls under the title of hermeneutics. And hermeneutics basically means the science and art of biblical interpretation. Hermeneutics is the science and art of biblical interpretation. So in other words, the correct way of interpreting the Bible. We just can't approach the Bible from our own rationale and think we're going to get out of the Bible everything we need to get. There's an approach to the Bible that must be followed, and this is called hermeneutics. There's a book that you can look at and is valuable to Bible students, or invaluable rather, and it's called How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. Yes, you can just pick up your Bible, open it, and let gravity take you to a page, and you just start reading it and assume that you understand the whole thing. But I promise you, if you that's your method of studying the Bible, you won't get out of it everything you need to get out of it. So if you want to make sure that you are getting out of the Bible what God wants you to get, you have to practice hermeneutics. And hermeneutics, for those that are not familiar with this term, again, it's spelled H-E-R-M-E-N-E-U-T-I-C-S, hermeneutics. H-E-R-M-E-N-E-U-T-I-C-S. And again, it's the science and art of biblical interpretation. And so interpreting the Scriptures correctly, it's not just left up to the pastors. It's not just left up to your elders. It's not just left up to your deacons. It's not just left up to your Bible study teacher. But all Christians have an obligation to correctly divide God's word. So it's important that we learn how to interpret God's word correctly, especially living in days such as this. You have popular televangelists who seem to be nice and eloquent and appear to know what they're talking about, but when you compare what they're saying to God's word, oftentimes it's taken out of context. It's taken out of context, and context means everything when it comes to biblical interpretation. So before we get started, or rather, what I want to get started with is biblical languages. Biblical languages, and for some of you all, this is familiar, but for those that are not familiar with it, it will be helpful to know that our Bible was not written in English in terms of the original languages. It was not written in English, even though you can go to your local Bible store and find all of these different translations, and most of them are in English because we live in America. But the original languages were not in English. And any linguist will tell you that when you take an original language and transfer it to the receptor language, it'll never cross over 100%. There's something within each culture, each language, that's unique to them in terms of how they use languages. So when you try to transfer it to a receptor language, you'll always lose something in the transference. So this is why it's important when you are reading something that has been translated to make sure that your version based on the receptor language is accurate. What linguists do is, or translators, they try their best to capture the sentiments of the original language. So what am I saying? The Bible was originally written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And for those of us who don't speak Hebrew, Aramaic, or Greek, we look at the English and we go to our concordances and we try our best, or lexicons, and we try our best to make sure that the English version is accurate. Let us take a break to recognize our sponsors, and we'll be right back. One of the passages I use as an example is in the New Testament, Jesus talks about you can't be a follower of mine, I'm paraphrasing, if you don't hate your mother or father. Well, if you look at it on the English level, that doesn't make sense. You mean if I don't hate my mother or father, I can't follow Jesus? But that's what happens in the English. In the English, it seems to be one way. But in the original language, that word for hate is loveless. Loveless. So what Jesus is saying is, if you don't love less your mother or father as it relates to me and you, then you can't be a follower of mine. Jesus has to come to be number one. Jesus has to be first. So if Jesus is first, your mother and father have to come after him. So you have to love me more than anything else or anyone else. And so that's what Jesus is saying. And this is important because if we don't fully understand how biblical languages work, then we find ourselves misinterpreting the scriptures. And this is the case with many cults, many organizations that use the Bible, but they interpret it differently for their own use. But we as believers, the duty has fallen on us to make sure that we are able to correctly divide God's word. Many of us are familiar with Hebrew in terms of the majority of the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. It's also written in Aramaic. And Aramaic was a Semitic dialect spoken as far back as even the 9th century B.C., 800 B.C. It came from the Arameans of Syria, which is northern region of Syria, and is closely associated with the Hebrew language as found in the Old Testament. So Aramaic and Hebrew are cousins, such as Genesis 31 and 47. You find your Aramaic passages there. Ezra 4 and 8, you'll find Aramaic languages there. Ezra chapter 7, verses 12 through 26, as well as Daniel 2 and 4, even Jeremiah 10 and verses 10 through 11 of Jeremiah, chapter 10, verses 10 through 11 of Jeremiah again, you'll find Aramaic verses there. So again, the Bible is written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Now, that's our foundation. So if we want to know what a text means, we ultimately must include the original lexicons, or we must go back to these concordance and do a word study and find out what that word meant in that culture. What I often hear, I hear Christians say, well, this is what the text means to me. Please don't take this the wrong way. But it really doesn't matter what the text means to you. The first question or the first order of business as it relates to interpreting the Bible is, what did the text mean to the original audience? Then, once we're able to deduce what the text meant to the original audience, then the next question is, what is the transcendent principle that applies to all believers? So the first question is, what did the text mean to the original audience? Then once we figure that out, we move to the prescriptive principle that applies to all of all believers. So we start off with the original audience. Then from that principle or the message to the original audience, we extrapolate, what is God saying to all of humanity? What is God saying to everybody else that reads it? Some messages are specific to individuals and not intended to be replicated. For example, God's calling to Moses to go to Egypt. There are certain things God told Moses that wasn't intended to be replicated. It was just for Moses alone. There's some things that God did with Joshua that wasn't meant to be replicated. That was just for Joshua. So that wasn't intended to be prescriptive. Those things that are specific in time and to those individuals, those are descriptive text. Again, those are descriptive texts. But those things that are for all of humanity, for example, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, that's for all Christians. And how do we know that? Because we find it supported throughout the Bible that Christians should always pray. There's no one time of prayer. There's no restrictions of the quantity of prayer, unlike some other religions. Christians ought to always pray. So we know for certain, if we want to know something is for all Christians, we normally find verses that's other verses and other passages that supports it. So it's very important in terms of word study that we find ourselves getting into what the Bible is actually saying versus what we've heard in church versus what somebody else told us. But we need to observe for ourselves what the text is actually saying. Sometimes I hear ministers that are very good, but every now and then they may say something that's inconsistent with sound doctrine. So we have to make sure that we are studying so we can test the Spirit by the Spirit. And I challenge you, even the things that I say, for you to go back and investigate. Because, again, you want to make sure that what I'm saying is consistent with Scripture and not just based on flowery words. Then another thing that we should think about is the literature of the Old Testament, which was a written form of oral communication. So back in the Old Testament, their communication was mostly done orally. There wasn't a lot of things being written down except for by the scribes. And so it's important that we learn the literary genres. Literary genres. So what do I mean by that? What I'm talking about is when you're reading a book, is it apocalyptic, right? Like Revelations and the book of Daniel. What type of book is it? The book of Acts is historical. Knowing that helps us, that it's a historical book. And by genre, We mean literary type, right? What type of literature is it? And understanding the genre of a particular body of work will help us or help the reader to better understand the overall scope and intent of the author, right? Why did Daniel find it necessary to include apocalyptic imagery in his writing? Why did John find it necessary while he was on Patmos to write it in apocalyptic genre? So in short, understanding genre will help you to understand the rule of the game. Is the text intended to be taken literary or allegorically? Right? People ask me sometimes, how should we read the Bible? And my response is, you read the Bible literally until the text itself tells you different. The text itself will tell you if the author intends for it to be allegorical or literal or figurative. So it's important to know the types of genres as you approach the various books of the Bible. Again, is it apocalyptic, like Daniel and the book of Revelations? Is it poetic, like Psalms, parts of Psalms and Proverbs? Is it narrative, like Genesis, Exodus, Esther, and Ruth? Is it historical, like the book of Chronicles, book of Acts, even the beginning chapter of Matthew captures the historical aspect. So is it romantic, like the Song of Solomon? Or is it a wisdom genre, such as the book of Proverbs? So knowing the genres really helps us in our approach to the text. Because reading, knowing the genres will help you to approach it in the appropriate way. So if I'm reading an apocalyptic text, I know that there's going to be imageries that I have to connect with the true meaning. If I'm reading a poetic text, I know there's going to be a lot of metaphors and similes. And when I'm translating, it'll help me in that endeavor. If it's narrative, like the book of Genesis, just so it's filled with a lot of narratives, a lot of stories. For example, the Joseph narrative is important. If I'm going to approach that text, to know that if it's narrative, poetic, apocalyptic, and so forth. Is it historical, like the book of Acts? The book of Acts was intended to capture the historicity of the working of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the apostles. So it's important that we go and approach each book based on the intent of the author. I always tell people, let me say this, when it comes to Christian living and what Christians ought to do in terms of lifestyle, we shouldn't go to the book of Acts first. The book of Acts, again, it's a historical book. If we want to deal with Christian lifestyle, we must go to the epistles. That's what the epistles were written for. That's the primary source. Then after you approach the epistles, can you find something in the book of Acts in terms of lifestyle? Yes. But that's not the primary focus of why Dr. Luke wrote the book of Acts. So it's important that we understand the genre of each book so we can properly approach the book and be effective in our interpretation. Then the next question is, we need to consider how the book or the letter is constructed. How is it put together? Right? We have to consider the theme. We have to consider the plot. We have to consider if it's poetic. Then consider the motifs. And the motifs are an idea that persists throughout the literature. Motifs, M-O-T-I-F-S, M-O-T-I-F-S. Again, it's an idea that persists throughout the literature. I'll give you an example. If you look at the blessings from Genesis, it was the younger who was chosen over the older. And you find that all through the Bible, Cain and Abel, right? The younger Abel was chosen over the older. And if you look at the story of David, it was the younger chosen over the older. And you find other instances of that in the scriptures in terms of a motif. It's an idea that persists throughout scripture, and God has a reason for that. And so we've run out of time, but next week or our next session, we'll deal with introduction to the Bible and how to get the most out of the Bible based on interpretation and based on what we need to do to make sure that we're accurately interpreting the scriptures. Amen. And again, we thank you all for your prayers, and we encourage you to become a financial supporter or partner of Sound Reason Ministries. You can go to our website, srministries.org, or mail us P.O. Box 582 306 Elk Grove, California 95758. And again, continue to do for the truth what so many do for a lie.
Thanks for listening to Sound Reasoning with apologist and minister Perseus Poku from Sound Reasoning Ministries. It's our prayer that today's lesson has equipped you to share and defend your Christian faith with boldness. Sound Reasoning Ministries offers training in apologetics, biblical studies, and systematic theology. Join in on discussions on Facebook at Sound Reasoning Ministries. For more information about the ministry, to send an email, ask a question, or support the ministry, visit online at srministries.org. That's srministries.org. Listen again next week at this same time. And remember, Titus 1:9 says, "Hold firm to the trustworthy message as has been taught, so that you can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it." Sound Reasoning Ministries, srministries.org.
And as always, we would like to thank our friends at Life Audio for their partnership with us on this broadcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of other Faith Center podcasts in their network. They've got shows.
Jesus wants our fears to launch us toward faith. Then he grins and says, "Do you trust me? Because together we can do this." With Mornings with Jesus, you can start your day in a positive way. Find hope through inspirational stories and scripture. Go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Mornings with Jesus. You can also download the Abide app for biblical meditations at abide.com.